Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, in about 10 minutes, we're going to have a guest, Patrice Bright from Alabaster, Alabama, just south of Birmingham. She will be our guest, and Patrice will be in studio. She lost her daughter to suicide after her daughter binge-watched a program on Netflix. What's the name of that program, Walker?
13 Reasons Why. Patrice and her husband's name is Joseph.
Yeah, Patrice and Joseph. Joseph is not here today, but Patrice is here.
Right.
And it's a very sad, tragic story, obviously, losing your daughter like that. But she is going to be here, Patrice is, to tell us, to warn.
Mm-hmm.
About this show on Netflix, and also just to share how God's worked, helping them work through this. But more than anything, she's here to warn other parents and grandparents and teachers and coaches, whoever, knowing kids are watching this show. Season 2 of this show on Netflix starts tomorrow, I think. So just wanted to let you know that she will be with us in just a few moments here on Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl is in studio, as he normally is Monday through Friday at 11:05 Central Time. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Walker and yours truly, Tim Wildman. We're in Tupelo here on American Family Radio. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Good to be here.
All right, you're up, Steve.
I have an acquaintance, a friend that I've used for various sources. He's actually been on our show. His name is Rich Binkowski. His daughter, her name is Brielle, and Brielle attends a public school in West Virginia. And the name of the school, I had it here, is... Well, I had it here and I lost it. Anyway, a public school is, and her daughter in eighth grade is going through a comparative religion class. And I have in front of me the documents that they use. There are 4 pages dedicated to learning about Christianity. Ray, there are 15 pages dedicated to learning about Judaism. And there are 30 pages dedicated to Islam. Including in this 30 pages of Islam, they talk extensively about the 5 pillars of Islam. They talk about, and they say, they send this home. They said, with your parents' permission, try fasting one day. That is the 4th pillar of Islam. So they're asking the kids to basically practice Islam.
Wow.
They are saying they have full-length page questions that they want to answer. What are your feelings about almsgiving? This is the 3rd question, pillar of Islam. What do you feel about almsgiving? Do you think it's the duty of all people who wish to lead a good life? So all of a sudden, now they're asked to opine on that. And I've never seen Abe Hamilton literally fall out of his chair, but it came close when I showed him this. They are asked to practice calligraphy, and they are asked to copy down in Arabic writing this calligraphy, which is called the Shahada. Now, I looked up how to become a Muslim online, and the 4th step is say the Shahada. They are asking kids to write down a confession of faith to the Muslim. Now, the kids don't know. Well, they know what they're writing down. They define it. Try copying it. They've been told what it means. And so it's Abe's contention, and I think as well, that these kids are being proselytized to.
Mm-hmm. Who even wrote this curriculum? Sounds like somebody who was a Muslim or a Muslim sympathizer wrote that. What's the purpose for even having kids do that?
Well, it's called teacher-created resources. They're the ones who put it out, and my friend, our friend Rich, who brought this to my attention, went and looked up the original documents, and there are about equal amounts of information on all three religions. This teacher, this school, or the school district mm-hmm. has decided to emphasize one over the other two. They are told to read extensive passages from the Quran and comment on them. It's just, it's an amazing thing that's going on in this school.
This is outrageous, especially the part about having them write down the, you called it the Shahada, is that what you said?
Shahada,
which is the, you know, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet.
That's exactly what it means.
Supposedly, by even saying that I'm converting to Islam, I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not.
I think you have to say it in Arabic, but.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. But in any case, it is shocking to think that in a public school, right?
Mm-hmm.
A public school, this could be considered a legitimate academic exercise. It's not. Abe is right. This is proselytizing under the guise of comparative religion.
I talked to one attorney before I acquainted myself with the Shahada and what its role in becoming Muslim, and asked him if this was violating any law. And the lawyer I talked to said that teachers are given very wide discretion on what sure. they are allowed to teach,
sure.
so probably not. However, after learning about the Shahada and the kids are asked to write it down and practice other pillars of Islam, it occurs to me that what we have here is maybe worth a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting back to Rich. He's watching. Hey, Rich. I'll be getting back in touch with you, maybe.
What did you say? What was that word you used at the end?
Shahada?
Lawsuit. He lawsuit. Said maybe it's a worth lawsuit. A lawsuit.
Lawsuit, oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Ray, while we're getting our guest in studio to talk to us, what are you doing this summer? You're going to go be teaching at several Bible camps?
Well, our tour, our summer travel start in about 3 days. Next Tuesday night, I'll be in Chicago speaking at the Moody Bible Institute Pastors Conference, and then on June the 11th, I'll be back in Dallas speaking at the Southern Baptist Pastors Conference, this year's convention in Dallas. We've talked extensively about already. Who knows what will happen there, but I'm speaking at the Pastors Conference, which precedes the convention, and then for a week of Bible conference at Cannon Beach Conference Center in Oregon. That's the last week of June, and then for 4 weeks, I'll be in at Camp Forest Springs in Wisconsin, middle of July, 2 weeks at Word of Life in upstate New York. And then I think the second week of August, wrapping up the summer ministry week at America's Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey.
Who does your frequent flyer mileage is what I want to know.
Listen, the summer's when I rack it up, man.
You know what intrigued me about what you just said was two things. One is that the Moody Bible Institute Pastors Conference, is that what you said?
That's right, next week.
That's kind of like talking about science in front of a bunch of scientists, isn't it? That's,
you know, if I thought about that, I don't know I would make the trip.
Well, it's also an honor.
It's one of those things you don't want to think about too heavily before you get on the plane.
I mean, you can fool, you know, your average parishioner out there every once in a while.
That's right.
You got a bunch of guys that went to the same school you went to, and they know exactly what you're talking about, or not.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that's the Moody Bible Pastors Conference that you're going to speak at. Again, that is, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
That's quite an honor. And then I've just signed up for your trip to Oregon.
Yeah, come Cannon on. Beach. It's beautiful there.
You've been there?
I've been there.
Cannon Beach, Oregon. When is that?
The 23rd through the 30th of June. It's gorgeous. As Steve said, you are right there on Pacific Ocean.
Well, I love my home state of Mississippi, but you get late June, I'm going to Oregon.
I think
that's right.
I'm going to Oregon.
Come on. Let's do today's issues from Cannon Beach.
Someone needs to carry a race Bible.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I need some help, Steve.
There you go.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And by the way, Ray, where can people get your what's your website?
It's Keep Believing. The name of the ministry is Keep Believing. And so go to keepbelieving.com, and you'll find all the sermons and videos, and you'll find the summer schedule. And we've got a brand new booklet out called 2 Minutes Till Armageddon, about living in the light of the second coming of Christ. The big banner across the top says 2 Minutes to Armageddon. If you want to get a copy of that, click on that link. So also, all the details about everything we just talked about, it's at keepbelieving.com.
That's Ray Pritchard, who co-hosts with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm Tim with Walker, Steve, and Ray. And folks, we're going to be talking for the next, for the remainder of the program, about a very sensitive topic. And we're going to be, so just wanted to make you aware that probably not something you want to, you know, someone under 10 to listen to and have to explain to them. But we're talking with, we got two guests in studio. First, Rebecca Davis, she's on staff with us here at American Family Association and works for our magazine, which is the AFA Journal. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
And then joining us in studio from the Birmingham area, Alabaster, is that what you said, Patrice? Patrice Bright. And couple, what did it take you, 2.5 hours to get over here?
That's about right.
Be with us today. And tell us what you and your husband do there in Alabaster.
We both work at a local bank.
Is her microphone close enough? Patrice has no experience in radio. And
clearly.
And we're trying to help her get set up so everybody can hear you, Patrice. And thank you, Patrice. So you and your husband work in the banking industry in the area,
and my husband is a former pastor as well.
Okay, and a former pastor. That's what I was wanting to get you. So you've been in ministry, you and your husband,
lots of years.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Rebecca, I'm just going to ask you to set this up for us, if you would.
Sure. Patrice is here with us today because she is the mother of Anna Bright, and Anna is the 14-year-old. She was a 14-year-old. Who took her own life after binge watching the first season of the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. And so Patrice has given up her day today to come and spend with us in an effort just to get the message out about how dangerous this show is. The second season is set to release tomorrow on Netflix globally. Mm-hmm. And so we are just wanting to make a really big push, let you know how harmful this series is and what it has done to her family.
Mm. Patrice, why did you, this is a simple yet some would call maybe too simplistic a question. Why did you drive over here to be with us today?
Well, obviously I'm very passionate about this cause. It's affected our family in the worst way, losing our child.
How long has that been now?
It was April 18th of 2017, so just a little over a year.
Okay. Mm. So you're passionate about warning other parents and grandparents and whoever will listen who know children or teenagers who might themselves get hooked on this show, right?
Absolutely, and who might be in a dark place already.
Okay.
This is something that we don't necessarily ask our children directly, have you thought about hurting yourself, or are you having thoughts of suicide? And it's a very frank conversation that we need to be having with our children, because the enemy is at work through the use of the tool of suicide.
Mm-hmm. Walker, we have a short film that we've done here. We produced it with Patrice and your husband.
Joseph.
And are you putting that up on our Facebook page?
Yes, it's a video that our American Family Studios team here together, along with Rebecca Davis, put together, video testimony of the Bright family and kind of their story. And but yes, it'll be posted on our Facebook page, and you can watch it. It really helps set up the story of the Bright family.
Rebecca, let me ask you this question. A lot of, maybe there are some people who are going, you know, I'm so sorry. What happened here, this is tragic, but there are all kind of movies and television shows every day, all day. You can't really hold What's different about this show that maybe gives it more of a direct link to harm?
Right, right.
Teenager. How would you respond to that?
Yes, it is. It is very, very dark.
We're talking about, again, 13 Reasons Why. That's the name of the show.
Yes.
It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It was very popular last year. Season 2 set to start
tomorrow.
And go ahead. So it's a very dark. You watched it, right?
I have. I've seen the first season, and when it came out last year in March, it was Netflix's most tweeted about show at the time. It's very, very popular.
What happens in the show that tell us a storyline?
Sure, sure. It is about a teenage girl named Hannah Baker, and she commits suicide on screen, on the show. It is a very raw, very real depiction of suicide. It lasts for 3 minutes. They show every bit of it. In addition to that, the show itself is just so, it's full of so much profanity. It is full of drug and alcohol use by teenagers, homosexuality. There are two rapes that take place in the series or in the first season, and those are shown as well. So the content of it is just, it's just awful. There's not a word for it. But what makes it so harmful is that the show is very addictive. And I hate to say this because I don't want to give props to Netflix, but they did it well. It's well done in that it makes you want to watch it because one episode leaves you hanging to the next episode. So it just has a very...
What are the 13?
What's 13 mean? Sure. 13, the number 13, and are the people that she blames for her suicide. So she leaves behind 13, or it's actually 7 cassette tapes, I think. And on those cassette tapes, she blames 13 different people for the reason that she chose to commit suicide. And it is based on a young adult novel by Jay Asher. So the first season was based on that. They ran the gamut of the novel. And so now in the second season, they are branching out and just taking the story a bit further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrice Bright is with us. She's driven over to be with us today. Her daughter binge-watched the show that Rebecca's talking about and took her own life. Did the police, who discovered what was going on here, this connection, Patrice?
Well, we thought that she had been murdered just because of my son, actually. He's 12 years old now. He found her. He was trying to take a little fidget spinner to her that he had bought for her. And he looked all around the house for her. My husband had gone to walk the dog. They had just come home. And my son came to our bathroom door. He knocked on the door, and he was unable to get her to respond. And he began banging on the door and yelling for her and said, I'm going to open this door. And so he opened the door and he found my daughter in the bathtub run with water. And evidently she had come home. Mm-hmm. She had put her shoes in her pouch behind her door, put her key in back in her backpack, changed into comfortable clothes. Mm-hmm. And then she had, at some point in the hour and a half when she was alone, run the bathtub full of water, and she actually went under and shot herself right behind her right ear. But my son found her, and he ran and told my husband. And evidently she had fired 2 other shots, and so when them seeing the bullet casings, they thought that, you know, that she had been murdered, that she had been shot to death.
The police did.
Well, my husband
did. Oh, your husband did, okay.
And then I came home about an hour later, and the first thing that my husband said to me across the yard was, Anna's dead, somebody killed her. And so the police officer, the lead detective, he actually came out shortly after that because the police were like, who told you that somebody killed her? And I said, well, that's what my husband said because that's what, you know, he thought when he saw what he saw. And so
Yeah.
So the police officer said, no, she did it.
Yeah. Mm. We're 4 minutes away from being out of time here on the program. Steve had a question.
Anna, I'm so sorry. I mean, Patrice, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Do you have have you looked into whether other families have gone through what you've gone through because of the show?
We have heard that there were at least two girls about Anna's age in California that had also committed suicide. We have been unable to connect with them, but we would love to do that, just to provide support to one another through this very difficult time that we're all going through. And then there was also a Peruvian man that who had left tapes behind as well. Our daughter didn't leave videotapes behind or cassette tapes, but she did leave a journal, and it had seven letters in it, four to her closest friends, and then one to myself, one to my husband, and one to my son.
Ray, you have a question for
Patrice, what should parents do listening to this interview and thinking about their own children, about Anna's age? What should they look for? And if they are worried, what should they do to intervene?
That's a great question. You know, on hindsight, there's so many what ifs. We thought that we were doing right by our children, and we still, you know, look back and think that we did the very best that we could with the knowledge that we had. We were constantly checking Anna's phone and, you know, trying to stay up to date, but unfortunately she hid this from us. I think that the most that you can do is have those frank conversations with your children. Monitor what they watch. And if it has any bit of darkness, I mean, choose to watch something that represents hope and light, and constantly affirm your children. And just help them through these difficult times and have those hard conversations, even with the school system, on bullying and mistreatment, because that can ultimately lead to depression and other things. And there's no child too young. We actually had a 12-year-old in the same school system who committed suicide in December, and bullying was a big problem.
Bullying was? Patrice, we've got a minute left here. Is there a website or a Facebook page that you guys have set up? We have our... what we're doing here at American Family Association, but are you guys doing
anything? No, sir.
Okay, that's fine, and I understand why. If you want to watch the video that our team has put together about the story that Patrice just shared with us about Anna and the Netflix television show, where can they go and watch this, Walker?
Yeah, if you just visit afa.net, right at the top of the page, there's a big banner that says 13 Reasons Why, find out more. Okay. And on that, not only can you find the video that we did on the Bright family and their story and the tragedy there, but you can also read Rebecca Davis's AFA Journal piece, very lengthy, in-depth piece on this, what doctors, physicians say about this series, and a lot of information there. You can sign the petition to Netflix there, too.
AFA.net. Simply do that right now, AFA.net. Patrice, thanks for driving over and being with us today on the program. And
thank y'all for having me.
Sorry that you have to be here for this particular reason, but maybe your story can help save another teenager's life and also warn everyone about this television series on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why, Season 2. And by the way, I wrote the CEO of Netflix asking for a meeting about this show, and about the story with the Bright family, and we got no response from them on this. Have a good day, everybody, and pray for the Bright family.